Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. In Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And believe it or not, history is being made in Madison, Wisconsin. That's where we're going right now. The SEIU, Service Employees Union, have now argued to Judge Frank Remington. I had Judge Frank Remington's grandfather, I think it was his grandfather, also named Frank Remington, for criminal law at UW Law School a long time ago. He's a great professor, great, great professor, expert on criminal law, very highly regarded. He's also the UW's delegate to the Big Ten. In other words, he represented the UW in any sports matter having to do with the Big Ten. Then those days it was the Big Ten. Now it's the big something else. Anyway, Frank Remington, his descendant, is a good judge. Frank Remington has to decide the following issue. The Wisconsin Elections Board received a complaint from the SEIU about the fraudulent electors, the 10 Republicans who lied, met in secret, believe it or not, the secret location, didn't publicize it, and they brought armed security. I mean, if you're not up to something, some skullduggery, why do you bring armed security? When was the last time you had a meeting with your buddies or got together, you had armed security? That's just plain strange. It's very paranoid. In any event, these guys met. The real electors, the 10, they were Democrats because Biden won the state. Tony Evers convened them in the Capitol. He convened them in the Capitol, and then they sent a letter, as they were required to the Senate and elsewhere in the government, saying, we're the electors. And Evers accepted them. Secretary of State accepted them, and the Wisconsin Election Board accepted them. Roughly the same time, maybe at the same time, Robin Voss reserved another room in the Capitol that was not disclosed publicly. And 10 Republicans met, one of them a former chairman of the party, one of them an elected official from northeastern Wisconsin who was beaten for re-election, and one of them, believe it or not, a member of the state elections board named Spindell. And they met in the secret location, and they nominated themselves. And they sent a fraudulent letter off to the Senate saying, we're the electors. We're the electors. I mean, that you can call it forgery, you can call it mail fraud, you can call it a lot of things, but it's a felony. They should have been prosecuted. There certainly should be a grand jury convened to investigate that. I don't see it. Where is it? Why isn't the state of Wisconsin convening a grand jury? Why isn't Merrick Garland convening a grand jury or our attorney general? Well, in any event, the SEIU took the bull by the horns and went to the state elections board and said, we want you to declare that this is a violation of Wisconsin law. There's six people on the state elections board, three Democrats, three Republicans. Now, remember, I said one of them, Spindell, was one of the fraudulent electors. And he was in on the deliberations on whether or not he broke the law. You know, that's the kind of thing that happens in China, in Russia, parts of Asia, the Middle East and Africa. You don't have a guy be a judge on whether he himself broke the law. But 6-0, they ruled that they were not going to take action against the fraudulent electors. Now, how is that possible? There are three Democrats and three Republicans. Well, three Republicans are pro-Trump, and one of them was a fraudulent elector himself, so that's easy. How about the three Democrats? The language that the board used was very careful. It says, we cannot say that they broke the laws that we oversee. We cannot say that they broke the laws that we oversee. Well, they don't oversee forgery, mail fraud. They don't oversee felonies like that. They oversee elections laws. And there are no elections laws that on the face say, don't meet as fraudulent electors. So they wiggled out of it. They wiggled out of it. If they hadn't wiggled out of it, it would have been 3-3. And the law on that is if the state elections board deadlocks 3-3, it then goes to the Circuit Court of Appeals. You just take it to the Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, you can take it to the Circuit Court of Appeals anyway, even 6-0. And I think Frank Remington's going to see through this. I don't think he's going to think that the board let these people off the hook. SEIU has asked Remington to declare that they look at it again and get Spindell out of there. To me, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. Get a guy out from being a judge on whether he himself broke the law, that's a no-brainer. You get him out. You get him out. Get the skunk out. Now, will it then be 5-0? And even if it is, you can then go back to the circuit court and ask them to overturn it. The judiciary is the big kahuna, not this board. But I would say, if anybody on that elections board is listening, this business about laws, we can't say that they violated laws we oversee, sends a very, very weak message. Because take a look at other laws that you don't oversee because you're not the attorney general. Do you think people should meet with armed security in a secret location and falsely tell the Senate that they're the electors? You obviously don't think that. You obviously don't think that. So one way to do it, if you want to wiggle off the hook, is to go, the laws that we believe they broke are in the purview of criminal prosecutors, not this board. That's true. It's a little stronger. It's a lot stronger. If Remington throws Spindell off, the two Republicans who are left will vote against anything because they're afraid of Trump, like Voss is. But if the three Democrats say, well, the laws that we oversee are not implicated in this, but there are plenty of laws that are, and we direct this to the Attorney General or the Dane, frankly, the Dane County DA. They did it in Dane County, right? The capital's in Dane County. So right in the middle of Dane County. Give me a break. Where are the prosecutors? Where are the prosecutors? Ideally, it would be Merrick Garland, because this happened in a lot of states, not just Wisconsin. The people in Pennsylvania were quite sly. They were extremely sly. And this is how the Republicans there did it. They met. And, you know, there's a lot more electoral votes in Pennsylvania than Wisconsin because they have a bigger population. But the certification they sent off to the Senate was this. You know, so this is a rough but pretty accurate quote. Quote, we contest the election, and if our contest is upheld, then we're the electors. Well, that's conditional. It's not saying they're the electors. They're acknowledging in the document, in the instrument, that there's a dispute. They're not saying they're the electors now, but they would be if they won. And by the way, they lost in about 60 judicial opinions around the country, so they're going nowhere. Because of that, they slipped off the hook. These slippery fish slipped off the hook. It's the rest of them they're looking at in Arizona, Wisconsin, and elsewhere. But really, how bad is that? I mean, really, how bad is that? You know, how many times on this show have I said that fascism creeps in on little cat's feet? Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Well, I want to give you the context of that, because this is an example, the fraudulent electors, of fascism creeping in. That phrase comes from a poem by Carl Sandburg, one of the great poets in American history. He's been gone a long time. He was born in 1878. He died in 1967. But his poem, from Galesburg, Illinois, believe it or not, Midwestern guy, but his poem said this, had included the following, quote, the fog comes on little cat feet It sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches and then moves on. The fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches and then moves on. That's beautiful. I mean, that really is beautiful. But why don't you substitute the word fascism for fog? The fascism comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches and then moves on. But unlike the fog, it doesn't lift. It does move on all over society. That's what happened in Germany in 1932. That's what happened in Mussolini in Italy in the 1920s. That's what happened with Lenin and Stalin. That's what's happening with Putin. Fascism comes on little cat feet. Gradually, inch by inch, it sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches and then moves on. And it starts with seemingly stupid things. 10 idiots saying they're electors and committing, forgery and mail fraud. We need prosecutors now. It's too late to have prosecutors when the fog envelops the society. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For a long time, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God...
It is your destiny.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, one at a time. Remember, it only takes six states to control the presidency: Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. And frankly, Georgia and Arizona could flip. And if it just happened in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, that would be enough. All it takes is lawyers, men in suits with briefcases in six states, going in to Republican courts and arguing smoothly with feigned candor and either restricting the vote, throwing out the vote, or making the legislature the arbiter of who the electors are, and presidential elections a beauty contest. Just six states, probably four states. That's all it takes. Take a look overseas. I'm not just talking about Ukraine. Take a look overseas. Yesterday, an announcement, Putin and Alexander Lukashenko, the crooked, murderous oligarch who runs Belarus, he held an election. He got about 90% of the vote. Soldiers stood at the polls and beat people, pushed them away from voting. Only authorized people by Lukashenko could vote, and then he claimed he had a big majority. Then he put through a constitutional referendum saying they were really part of Russia and they should merge with Russia. Huge protests in the streets. They arrested people, a lot of students, a lot of younger people, threw them in jail, tortured them. People were afraid. So this resolution passed, this referendum, big time, fake. And then he just announced with Putin that they've agreed to form a new USSR, new Soviet Union. It'll start out being Russia and Belarus. Belarus is just to the west of Russia. The name Belarus, the Rus is for Russia too. They're Slavic, but they speak a different language, although a lot of people over there are bilingual. Belarus, before Putin corrupted it, in its brief moment of independence, had a fairly vibrant economy. Their main export is potash. Using fertilizer. They export chemicals. They're good people. But the cancer, it used to be Russian communism. Now it's Russian mafia. Russian mafia took it over. Putin's head of the Russian mafia. But then the clown Lukashenko and the governor or the head of the entity known as Russia, obviously Putin is the head of it, but there's a guy, a figurehead in there, and he and Lukashenko meet together. They announced, and as Lukashenko says this, quote, "It's unbelievable. I am sure that this union will attract other republics of the former Soviet Union." Oh, really? How about Poland? Poland, occupied and dismembered by Russia in 1795, afflicting it for 200 years or more after that. During the Second World War, they took almost 30,000 Russian military officers into a forest and executed them. Just killed them. They went through Poland and they executed, killed anybody they thought was an intellectual, a journalist, a judge, a mayor, anybody who thought they thought could keep alive the idea of the state of the country of Poland, the culture of Poland. So you think Poland is going to be, quote, attracted to more of this? How about Czechoslovakia? 1968, the Ruskies went in, brutalized Czechoslovakia like they're doing in Ukraine. 1968, you may recall, is also the Olympics. I was down in Mexico City just traveling on vacation at the time. I was young. And in Mexico City, that was the time when several African-American athletes gave the Black Power salute. And I think a guy got the long jump record because of the high altitude. Mexico City is very high up and in the thin air. I remember that. But something else happened at that Olympics. In one of the finals in water polo, Czechoslovakia and Russia played a game. It was right at the time of the invasion of Czechoslovakia. And people who were there said there was blood in the water. And I mean real blood. The Czech players, when they had a Russian underwater, went after him big time. There's hatred in Eastern Europe for Russia. It's a Nazi state. How about Hungary? They have Viktor Orban. Viktor Orban is a right-wing nut. They went in, the Ruskies, in 1956 and brutalized that country. There's a building there. I've been to Budapest several times. And there's a building there where the Russians would snatch people and torture them. They still keep it as a museum. They're not going to be attracted to it either, and neither is anybody else. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Wisco Paul.
Hey, good morning, Matt. I just got a quick question. Citizens United, I didn't realize there was this much money from Russia that has flowed into this country, and a lot of it the Republican Party has. And what you just said about the four states, that Putin's got to realize that. But Putin's got to be thinking to himself, he can flip another election here with help of the Republican Party. That's Citizens United. Thanks, Matt.
You know, you're right. Let me give some background on that. In the French election just now, Macron beat Le Pen. Le Pen owed money to Russia because Russia just right out, flat out funded her last campaign. That's legal in France. It's not legal here. And she was paying them back. She owed them $12 million. And Putin called her and said, instead of paying it back to the bank that you, we borrowed it from, pay it to this defense contractor. And she is paying a Russian defense contractor in the middle of that election $12 million. Actually, 12 million euros is more than $12 million. Now, in this country, it's obvious on the surface with Trump being close to Russia and sticking up for Russia, Tucker Carlson, Josh Hawley, and the rest. But here's what most people don't understand. It's illegal in the United States for anybody from a foreign country to give a contribution to an American politician or American campaign. However, it's very easy for billionaires to get American citizenship. There's a thing called the Einstein exception in immigration. Basically, if you have a really outstanding individual come in, you just give them citizenship. And a lot of American billionaires got girlfriends from Eastern Europe in, saying they were models and they were part of the Einstein exception, which is ridiculous. I mean, Melania Trump got in that way. But there are oligarchs who are close to Putin, who first of all got British citizenship, and the EU basically sells citizenship. Once they had British citizenship, they applied for American citizenship and got it. And Scott Walker got about $1 million for his 2016 campaign in Iowa, one of these characters. Moscow Mitch has gotten several million for his PACs. The best message that the Democratic Party has right now, instead of attacking from the left and from the squad, would be to brand them as the party of Russia. And that means getting into this. What I've just described is off the top of my head. I've read it in many articles, but just chapter and verse lay out who got Russian money. And if they go, oh, it's not Russian money, came from an American citizen. Yeah, it was an American citizen named Boris Badenov who got American citizenship because he got British citizenship because he's a billionaire. And they are just, they launder this money. The same guy gave money to Yale University. They'll give it to places that are quintessentially American. The Russians have gotten into the Republican Party, and under Citizens United, they've gotten into it financially. And Moscow Mitch is afraid of Russia. People like Scott Walker are afraid of Russia. You've got to get the Russian Party out of government, and that, unfortunately, is the Republican Party. Investigate that. Get that message around. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Radio app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Very good development in Washington. Joe Biden has asked Congress for $33 billion more in aid over the next 5 months for Ukraine. Here's the breakdown. $20 billion would be for military weapons, military assistance. $8.5 billion would be for economic aid. They can't run an economy when they're being bombed 24/7. $3 billion would be for humanitarian assistance, largely food. The Ruskies are bombing food supplies. Whenever there's food storage, they bomb it. The Ruskies are Nazis. They've been Nazis for much of their career, even before Nazism was invented. Stalin entered into an alliance and non-aggression pact with Hitler at the beginning of the Second World War. Hitler and Stalin are peas in a pod. Stalin only came over to the other side when Hitler attacked him. Stalin was a Nazi. Putin's a Nazi. They bomb food. They rape women. $3 billion is going for food. And then I think there's another billion or two designated for some American companies that have suffered hardship as a result of this war. This is very welcome, and it should have happened 2 months ago. My own view is if back in January, we had made it clear that we are not going to permit a state like Ukraine to be invaded just because they applied for NATO citizenship and then stationed some troops in Ukraine back before anybody thought about Russia invading. What's Russia going to do? Russia is afraid of us. You've got to understand that. They say, oh, you know, nuclear weapons. They are afraid of us. They're afraid of our military might. They're afraid of our values. They're afraid of our constitution. They're afraid of an open society. And they're afraid of us militarily. Their military is junk. Their weapons are junk. Their draftees, their conscripts are junk. They bring in mercenaries, and the way they conduct war is sadism. Butchering and torturing civilians when they can isolate them. Russia has now deported 1 million Ukrainians into Russia. More than 5 million Ukrainians have left to go to the West, to Poland and Romania, and eventually the rest of Europe. Ukraine only had 44 million people. When 6 million leave, it's over 10%. Many of the people who left were women and children. The people left were men. What the Russians are doing, And there was a very, very, very persuasive interview with Professor Snyder of Yale University yesterday, and he explained this. He wrote a book called Bloodlands about Nazi and Russian murders in Europe and in Asia. And together they killed almost 20 million people. Some people think that Stalin himself killed 20 million people. They killed millions of people in Ukraine. Millions of people in Ukraine. What they have been doing is, in eastern Ukraine, where the Ukrainian military hasn't been able to penetrate substantially, they just go up to women in the streets and rape them in the streets and say they're prostitutes. They had women in Bucha, they would then carve swastikas on them and burn the body, kill them and burn the body. These are animals. These are not human beings. Some people say it was the Wagner Group, these mercenaries who committed sadistic acts in Africa. Some say it was the Chechens or Muslims from Chechnya who were being given a bounty, you know, going to a European country and rape and murder women. Putin's an animal. Cannot be seen as a human being. So the $33 billion now is very welcome. It should have happened before. But you take Mariupol, city on the Black Sea. Russia is trying to make Ukraine a landlocked country to then conquer it. They control the Sea of Azov and they control the Black Sea, at least around Mariupol. They don't control it around Odessa. But they're trying to control the whole eastern and southern part of Ukraine over into Moldova, and then Ukraine would be a landlocked country. And Ukraine has a lot of exports, wheat exports, electronics. Believe it or not, it's a center for electronic innovation and assembly and manufacturing. And then they slowly squeeze like a python. That has to be stopped. One very easy way is something like 26 ships, Russian in the Black Sea, right near the shore. Our Air Force could sink every one of them in an hour. During the Second World War, in the Battle of Leyte Gulf, the Marianas Turkey shoot, the Japanese Navy and the American Navy went against each other. The Japanese Navy was obliterated. A good friend from high school, whose father was a gunnery officer, on a destroyer in Leyte Gulf. He then went on and be the commander of the American base, our base in Da Nang, Vietnam in the 60s, Korean Navy. And he described it. I mean, these guys would be on the deck and the Japanese would come in with sort of kamikaze missions. In those days, it was just prior to the actual kamikazes, but they knew they weren't going back. And one hit this guy's ship and killed a lot of sailors in the back. Our Navy knows what to do. The Ruskies are incompetent. So that's one way to do it. Does that trigger a world war? The other way to do it is give the planes to Zelensky. Give the planes to Zelensky. There's 70 MiGs. You've only permitted a few to go to them. Give them, have the Ukrainian pilots go out there and bomb these people. They can do it with MiGs. They don't need a lot of training. They've already had training on MiGs. Russia has got to be eliminated in Ukraine, and frankly, the Russian nation cannot continue with nuclear weapons. And one way to stop it is to make it clear when they're out of Ukraine, say, we will lift the economic sanctions when you put your nuclear weapons under UN control, basically controlled by the United States, Britain, France, and China. Okay. But you are not going to be able to threaten launches again. This is a much bigger thing than the Ukraine war, and we better, I think, start coming to terms with it. Go to the lines. Gary of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gary?
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. If this is not just a Ukraine deal, I heard Biden talk with his help the other day, help Ukraine against Russia. This is, Russia is threatening the world. I mean, they, because of this, we got immigration issues, we got food issues, energy issues. Yeah, this is not just a local thing. People need to realize this is actually Russia's declaring war on the world almost. And it's serious stuff. And if they But I know people in Maripol were trying to be still trying to be rescued. I don't know how we're supposed to get them out of there. We're just going to let them continue to slaughter. That's an awful, awful situation. I that bothers me. I don't know how in the hell we can just let that go. So I know you're concerned about that too, but I'll leave it alone, Matt. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
No, thank you, Gary. I really appreciate that insight from you. And yeah, in Mariupol, you know, Joe Biden went out and he said they're committing war crimes. Then he said genocide, and he's right. How can you stand by and watch a genocide and say, well, you shouldn't do it, but if you do it in a NATO country, we'll stop you. But, oh, you're doing it 10 miles from the NATO border. Well, I guess I can't do anything about it. No. Now, they keep talking about nuclear weapons. That's a sign of weakness. They have nothing else. They're despised by the rest of the world. One way to do it would be for the UN, and we could orchestrate that, saying we are going to send a UN delegation to evacuate Mariupol. The United States and the major NATO countries like the UK would provide the firepower. But you know what you do? You use third world pilots that we've trained them. We've trained some of them. Third world truck drivers and convoys in uniform. We've done it. When we send peacekeeping missions, we ask different countries if they want to provide some troops, and the pay is astronomically higher than they get at home. So you get some very poor Asian countries who would do it. What is Putin going to do? Is he going to kill UN troops? Is he going to start a nuclear war because soldiers from Bangladesh are driving rescue trucks to Mariupol? I think it simply has got to be, there is a genocide going on in Mariupol right now and in eastern Ukraine. There's evidence, we've had evidence, that what they're doing was when they corner civilians and they raise their hand to surrender, they execute them. Civilians, they execute them. Certainly they execute Ukrainian soldiers. We don't execute Russian soldiers, we take them prisoner, the Ukrainians. You could say we should just execute anybody we get our hands on who's Russian. And I frankly think with the Wagner Group and these Chechenians, I would do that. But so far, we just take them prisoner. If they see a woman in eastern Ukraine, they rape her. If it's a younger woman that they're attracted to, they'll rape her in front of her own kids. They've kidnapped a million people, and they're doing what they did in Poland during the Second World War and afterwards. They sort them out, largely men, but women too. Anybody who has political office, was a journalist. They have databases on these people. They hacked into them before the war. They interrogate them. They ask other people. And then they kill them, execute them, which they're doing, or send them to the gulag in Siberia with hardly any food, manual labor, 12 hours a day or more, and try to destroy the intelligentsia of a country so it can no longer forge a national identity. These are animals. This is a Nazi tactic. I don't think we can stand there and say we're going to watch everybody in Mariupol get executed. I think what we do is we serve notice the UN is sending a delegation with security by NATO. And that means, obviously, the US and the UK. France might go along after Macron's victory. Germany is chicken. Germany's chicken. Austria's chicken. Poland would send in people. Czechoslovakia would send in people. And you just go in. And you're not attacking anybody, but the minute they are fired on, whoever's firing on them gets eliminated. Now, you can say, and I'm speaking in very extreme terms, and obviously a diplomat would not do that. A diplomat would not do that. But the truth of the matter is that that is the way it is. We're going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the White House has proposed, and this is terrific, it has passed in the House, a plan to sell the assets of oligarchs to help Ukraine. You know, there are all these Russian oligarchs. You hear about their yachts, $90 million, $200 million yachts. They also own real estate. They own houses. And many of these houses are in New York, Florida, or London. They're incredibly expensive. I mean, you're not going to believe this, but there is a condo building in New York, a new one. I think it's on Columbus Square, 59th Street and, let's say, 7th Avenue, roughly. $250 million for the penthouse. How would you like to spend $250 million for an apartment? Now, it's very luxurious, don't get me wrong. What's happening is these money laundering oligarchs come in all over Manhattan, all over Palm Beach, all over London. And they pay cash in the hundreds of millions of dollars for buildings and apartments. And that launders it because then they have an asset that's registered with the Register of Deeds. And then when they sell that, the money looks legitimate. But we know who they are. Biden's idea, and Congress is going along with it, and I think the Senate will too, is to confiscate and sell it. You know, not just freeze their assets, take their assets, sell them, and then give the money to Ukraine to help Ukraine. There's already been $100 billion in infrastructure damage in Ukraine. You see these Mariupol videos and Kyiv and Lviv and all that. The other thing that I would say, I'm going to say a few other things. There's $350 billion that the Ruskies had on reserve in New York, London, and Frankfurt banks. And you know, we've talked about this before, that the West has frozen those assets. Putin calls it theft. Why are we not seizing those assets too? Why just these $250 million apartments in London, New York, and West Palm Beach by the oligarchs? Why not the $350 billion in reparations to Ukraine? They already have $100 billion infrastructure damage. That would pay for the arms that we're sending them. And they would have to pay the Russians by doing this for the damage they're doing in Ukraine. There's a senior Russian legislator. He's the top guy in the Russian legislature called the Duma. His name is Vyacheslav Volodin, V-Y-A-C-H-E-S-L-A-V, Vyacheslav, V-O-L-O-D-I-N, a dog, a Russian Nazi. And this guy complained about some of these arms shipments, and he goes, Ukraine is mortgaging itself to the United States. They're getting all this on lend-lease like Roosevelt gave to England back in the 1930s and early 1940s. So Ukraine's going to have to pay it. Why shouldn't they just give up and not mortgage themselves to the United States? Well, first of all, the United States is going to forgive all those debts with the agreement of Congress. But secondly, why don't we agree with Vyacheslav Volodin and say, Vyacheslav Volodin, you dirty dog, we have a better idea. You will pay for them. You, Vyacheslav Volodin, and Putin will pay for them. And then Ukraine won't be mortgaged. How about that? How about the $350 billion you made the mistake of leaving in banks in New York, London, and Frankfurt? You dirty dog, thanks for bringing this to our attention. And we have just eliminated Ukraine's debt to the United States. And thank you very much for undertaking it yourself. There's a couple of other things that puzzle me. They really do. Putin has a mistress named Alina Kabaeva, A-L-I-N-A-K-A-B-A-E-V-A. She's 39 years old, and she's a gymnast. And I'll tell you something. His proclivities are his own business. But I saw a picture that just gave me the willies. There's a picture of her with a very pretty smile staring and their pair of ankles alongside her ears. And I thought, oh, somebody's standing next to her, and she has her head between his ankles. And then I looked closer, and they were her own ankles. She's a contortionist. I've never seen anything like this in my life. She twisted her back up and her legs down over her face, and her ankles are next to her knees. Vladimir, Your proclivities are your own business, but I'm going to tell you this. She's getting sanctioned. She hasn't been sanctioned yet. Vladimir Putin has two daughters by his first wife. They've been sanctioned. They were living in luxury in London and Switzerland near the French border. And suddenly they're sanctioned. They whine and they say, why should we be sanctioned? Ukrainian women are being raped with swastikas carved in their flesh. That's why. You're lucky that isn't happening to you. Get out of here. And they went back to Moscow, Russia. Alina Kabaeva is in Moscow, Russia. And Putin is laundering a lot of his assets through her. In other words, assets will show up in the name of Alina Kabaeva. Well, she suddenly got a few billion dollars for what? Performing as a contortionist? I don't think so. Sanction her. Largely symbolic at this point, because she won't dare to go outside of Russia, certainly not to the United States or Europe. But if she is sanctioned, her name appearing on a title to an asset will involve its seizure and, under this new law, immediate conversion into money that can go to Ukraine. These are some, I mean, small things. It doesn't take a lot to figure this out. Sanction her. Send Vyacheslav Volodin, the dog, telegram, an email. Say, thank you, Vyacheslav. You're right. Ukraine does not want to mortgage itself to the United States. Ukraine now has $350 billion from the Ruskies, from Russian organized crime, which is you and Putin. You're sanctioned. Don't dare to set foot outside of Russia or you're toast. And that money will be used to pay all of Ukraine's debts for arms and everything else. Arms and everything else. You know, this is not totally glitch-free. A German energy company, Uniper, just caved and agreed to pay in rubles, undermining the sanctions for Russian gas and oil. You know, something's got to be done with Germany. They mouth pieties, they talk, but what Russia's trying to do is break their contracts for gas and oil and force Western countries to pay in rubles to strengthen the ruble, when it clearly says in the contract there must be payment in euros or dollars. And Russia can't do anything with euros or dollars because of sanctions. I have a better idea what Germany should do and all of Europe. Say to Russia, we are not going to pay you immediately. Keep sending the gas and oil, and we'll put it in escrow in any denomination you want. And when you're out of Ukraine and there's peace, then we will send you your money. And you may say, come on, Matt. What, you think he's an idiot? No, I don't think he's an idiot. Let me tell you something about the oil industry. If you shut it down because people don't buy from you anymore, it costs you more than it costs them. Shutting down and then starting up, drilling, pumping, and sending oil and gas, very, very expensive, and there are a lot of problems with it. They are better off sending their energy and getting paid later than not sending it at all. And if Putin bites off his nose to spite his face, good. What that will mean is that we're going to have to provide alternate sources of energy for these people. But Germany right now is a problem. Germany is funding Russia's war against Ukraine, Russia's genocide against Ukraine. That's got to stop. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.